Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Ears Podcast, produced by Terrier TV. I am Alligator Rob. I want to give a quick thank you to Edna Wilson with Celebrate Remax Aerospace for sponsoring our program. Edna Wilson can help you and your real estate dreams come true by helping you with buying or selling your home. So, yeah, if you have any of those desires for awesome things like that, contact Edna Wilson at ednawilson.com. Bill, Cindy, howdy. How y'all doing?
The school year is rapidly coming to an end. So it is, buddy.
What, 3 weeks?
Yeah, 3 weeks, man.
3 weeks.
Do the students just start to get completely feral at this point in the year?
A lot of them, yeah.
I would expect that.
Yep. And some of them are panicking. It's like, oh, yeah, I do have to pass this class, don't I?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are any of them dealing with other issues besides that as far as end of the year things? Testing and stuff, you got, right?
May is all the state tests. All the state tests are in May. You've got, seniors worrying about they got all their credits to graduate. And, it's a stressful time for a lot of people.
Yeah, I bet.
Yep.
Cindy, so I want to ask you, how do you define the four most important qualities in a person? Just give me four words.
What?
Boy, that's out of the blue, isn't it?
You can't put me on the spot and ask me something like that.
What did you do to him to make him so angry?
I thought we were friends.
Oh my God.
Do you know how long it would take me to think of an answer?
That was literally the first one.
Cindy, our entire audience is listening.
No pressure.
We want to know.
Okay, first thing is they don't do stuff like that.
They give you a heads up, buddy.
That was the first time I've caught Cindy off guard in how many episodes? I don't know. Maybe
it's
ever.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That was a big one. That was a big swing, buddy.
Yeah, it was just hilarious.
My worst nightmare, being put on the spot without a script.
I'm just having fun. It's been one of those weeks.
Okay,
I think,
Frank,
for all of
us. Give me one of the four that you would say.
Humility.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Being humble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Kindness. Compassion. Truthfulness.
Okay, how come that's so easy for you to do?
Evidently, he's been thinking about it. This is something that he's been thinking about, and then he thought, I wonder what Cindy thinks about this.
That kind of sort of sums it up. I'm not going to give her any heads up. I'm just going to drop her the heaviest question I can think of right off the bat.
And you've been thinking about this for days, and you gave her all of 10 seconds.
I've been thinking about that for 40 years, Bill.
Okay, well, there you go.
All right. You guys ready to chat with our guest today?
Yes, sir.
All right. So today on the podcast, we are joined by a Ears board member and a dear friend of mine, Ms. Tara Johnson. Tara, how are you doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about you and what you do for a living.
So I'm a mortgage loan originator with U.S. Bank. We're part of the Neil Johnson mortgage team. Neil is my dad. That's a common question. And I was born and raised in Melbourne, Florida. Grew up here in Satellite Beach and then moved to Melbourne. I still live in Melbourne. I have a dog named Caesar. He's the best.
Dogs are always an easy win.
I know. Yeah. He's a husky pit bull mix, so he's so cute. And he's 11. My parents still live in Brevard County. They live like 10 minutes from my house, so I get to see them a lot. And then my sister lives in Houston, Texas.
Okay, so simple questions to understand in the brain of Frank. I know mortgage is a French term. Just something I happen to know. I randomly know that because I just know things. Explain to me the role of a mortgage team.
So we help you finance your house in plain terms. We go through and we find what product is going to fit the best. So whether you're a veteran and a VA loan would be the best. It's 100% financing. You get a lot of closing costs rolled in. Or if it's a 3% down conventional, if your credit score is in the right range for that, so you have a less of a down payment, or if you need a 3.5% FHA, if you don't want private mortgage insurance, you do more percentage down, you do 20% conventional, stuff like that. That's not stuff that we expect everybody to know. So we get the full picture, and then we will figure out what fits for your budget or for your down payment savings or something like that.
As a mortgage team, and as a mortgage loan originator, what are some of the main things people are typically missing in that world that you're having to explain over and over again that maybe people should know about?
So a lot of times people will say, I want this big of a house. I want a $500,000 house. but they don't know because they don't. And we have free mortgage calculators on our website, on our US Bank website. They don't know what that costs monthly. So they want to keep their monthly amount in, say, the $2,000 or less range. You're not going to get a $500,000 house at that. And because you have taxes, you have insurance, you have all these other things that are incorporated into the payments, that we try to go over that with people at the beginning. Like, what do you think your budget is? And then what would you like your monthly budget to be? So we want to go through that first, so that if they do have this higher expectation and then they don't understand why they don't qualify for this big of a house, it's because we got to keep you in your budget, for your monthly budget, really.
Makes sense. Makes sense. What would you say your favorite part of your job is? I won't ask you what the four most important qualities in a person are. I'll save that one for Sandy.
Four most important qualities in a borrower.
Yes. That's actually pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really like meeting people, and I like when you get to closing day and they're just so excited to get into this house and they're so excited to move in, and they have a yard for their kids or a yard for their dog, or they can finally, their kids finally get their own bedrooms that they've been crammed into a one bedroom house for, you know, so long. So it's just the gratitude at the end of the day from those people and the joy that they get. You feel it, and they just appreciate you for helping them.
That does sound very, very nice.
It's rewarding.
Now, I know some people that are connected. You know what I mean? I meet some people. We've had some people on that do networking for a living, you know, that do mm-hmm. business plans. Absolutely. And networking for a living. And then you randomly just meet this lady named Tara that happens to do everything networking, everything with every group around the county, and knows everybody. I like to think I know some people.
Right.
It ain't nothing compared to what this lady right here knows. She okay. is... Tell us a little bit about the networking groups you work in and the different things you're always doing. Dear goodness gracious, you are always doing something somewhere.
I should have brought a list, because sometimes I don't even know my own life. So
as I say, I thought I was busy until I met you, and then I went, wow, that's a whole different level.
So when I was working in retail banking, I worked at Chase Bank for a long time, and I was a bank teller, and then I got into audits and operations and stuff like that. I didn't have to network for my job. People just came in. So I was very shy, very anxious. And my dad, who worked in banking his whole life, he did financing, mortgages, all this fun stuff. He was like, you want to do what I do? And I was like, all right, let's try it. So he's like, we're going to join the chamber. You're going to be on the ambassador team. We're going to join the board of directors. You're going to find stuff to do. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore.
Sounds terrible.
It sounded terrible at the time. And I was like a puppy. I'd follow him at every event. And I had so much social anxiety. And the Chamber and American Business Women's Association and 3-2 Millennials and all these other ones that I'm involved in have really pulled me out of my shell. Like, I would have passed out before public speaking. And I've spoken in front of 500 people. So it's such a huge, I have to contribute a lot of this to the Melbourne Regional Chamber. I'm the most involved with that organization. I'm on the board of directors. We're an investor director. I am the chair for the ambassador team. I'm the past chair for the Space Coast Young Professionals. I'm part of Women of Excellence. We do a ton of volunteering through the chamber. Let's see, we do American Business Women's Association. That's a membership based ladies group, and it's a luncheon one that we network at. We have 3-2 Millennials. I'm on the executive board for them. I do the social media and communications.
When do you find the time? Do you like literally have a calendar laid out where you're okay, today I'm gonna spend time at 9 to 10 o'clock on this. And 10 to 11 on that.
So, yes. Yeah. My phone actually has, I'm not kidding. I have two calendars. So, I have that's my personal calendar. And then that's my work calendar.
Wow.
And I'm not necessarily attending all of these things, but I want to make sure they're on my radar. So, if it's something I can pop by, like a realtor event or something that I find out is coming up, I want to make sure I know what's happening so that I can divvy out my networking wisely and maybe not go to more of a party one where I don't really get very much business, and focus on going to a realtor event, which there's a realtor event tonight that I'm going to right after this. But it's because it's realtor focused, and that's where mortgage loan originators get most of their referrals, is from your realtor partners. So I try to focus on those. And young professionals are very important to me as well.
So there's people that dabble in networking. For someone who has a business and they're looking to get their name out there, what are a couple of hints you can give them or a couple of places they can go to really get their name out and start networking them or their company?
I am obsessed with chambers. I love our chamber. I love the Melbourne Regional Chamber. I love how it works. I like that there are so many different groups you can get into that, and you don't have to go to everything. That's a misconception from back in the day where it's like, attend everything. It's attend everything once, find what kind of works with your business, and just try it. And when you join, like the Melbourne Regional Chamber specifically, our ambassador team is your welcoming committee. So we come in and we say, what are you looking for? What do you want to get out of your business? Or what do you want to get out of your membership with the chamber? And they usually give us kind of a high level, and we start to get to know them and invite them to specific events. So if it's, say, a medium to large company that I believe would probably do well with partnering with nonprofits, we have a nonprofit council. That doesn't mean you have to be a nonprofit to go to that event or to that meeting, but it's a really good place to connect and maybe collaborate with these nonprofits with your bigger business. We have a small business council. We have our Women of Excellence, they're not called Engage anymore. It's called Space Coast Young Professionals. We have business advocacy. We have our board of directors. I would definitely start with, if you're not necessarily getting ready to invest in a chamber, start with some of the free events.
Okay.
The ones that are they don't charge for non-partners to come. Start there, dip your toe in it. And I'm on the board of directors, obviously, for Melbourne, so I have to give all of my love to them. But I do, there are different things about all of the chambers that may align better with other people's businesses. So I would say to try them all, you know, visit as a guest, connect with some of their staff and see how that works. But, you know, you got to feel them out, because it's not necessarily, not every chamber fits in your box.
Gotcha. So how long have you been doing the mortgage side of things now? How long have you been doing that?
About 5 years.
And what were from going from bank teller to that side of the world with your pop, what were the biggest learning curves? What were the biggest things you've learned over the last 5 years?
So I had worked in retail banking for 10 years before that. So people would come to me with their questions, and I knew the answers. And I knew scenario-based answers because I had been through so many crazy scenarios with check frauds or check cashing or just weird questions from clients. I came into this feeling like I didn't know anything. So it was really helpful that my boss was my dad, because I could ask those intimidating questions and not feel small.
Yeah, you can be vulnerable and say, I don't understand this.
Right, right. And they're not going to say, you should have learned it in class. They're going to say like, well, let's go over it again. Or let me go over it a different way. And it's really actually strengthened my dad and my relationship. He's learned so much about like my mental health, and I've learned so much about how he works and how we work together. And we're very stubborn, so we push each other's buttons. So that's been a huge learning curve. But we know when to stop. And that's... working with family, a lot of people say like, oh, good luck. But it really has been nice.
It goes one of two ways. Either goes brutally bad, or you build the best relationship ever. Yeah, I worked with my uncle for a very long time. So yeah, I understand. Yeah. I understand that very well. Sometimes family are very hard to work for, but even still, you can push past it and get a very good relationship there if you're able to. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I read on the screen that you are a member of the EARS board.
Yes.
How in the world did that come about?
Okay, I have a story. So my parents are Jaguar Society members. They're investors of the Brevard Zoo. So they always invite me and my boyfriend to the events that they have, the Jaguar Society events that are after hours or before hours or private tours or whatever. So they were having one called All About Alligators. And my mom was like, Tara, are you coming? And I said, absolutely. So I had a broken thumb at the time.
I don't remember that side of the story.
I had a broken thumb in the
head. Oh, I do remember that.
Because okay, we were putting up the arrays.
I do remember that.
And so we went up and met, I don't remember, it was one of your larger alligators.
Gertie. Yes,
Gertie. Okay. And so I went up and I was like, hey, do you need volunteers? Because I used to work with Sean Heflick and I've been on National Geographic and I was trying to talk myself up so much. And he's like, have you worked with wild gators though? And I said, no.
What, like it's hard?
Like it's hard. And I was like, but like wild snakes? And he's like, okay, like what? And I was like corn snakes. And he's like, okay, yes, you can volunteer, but we have a lot of work to do. So I was like, okay. So I started volunteering. We set up, the first one was setting up arrays. So for the Environmentally Endangered Lands Program, it's a biodiversity research. And I love it. I just like being out in nature and I like picking up snakes and it's my favorite thing. So,
She likes laughing while I'm bleeding is what it usually comes down to.
Yeah. So he's like, well, who do you want to be on the board?
I know. Like that's valid weird.
Yeah, right. Point. I mean, if you're not laughing, you're crying and I don't want to cry. So
my hand still hasn't recovered from the presentation we were doing not too long
ago. That garter snake.
Oh my garage.
Grabbed him.
And then Tara's over there taking pictures and just chuckling. And I'm like,
would you like to see them?
You know, I would.
That was the one I was telling you about where I went to the restroom.
Right.
Yeah, at the hotel. Off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm like, Tara, I got to go. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah. And it's not that it was like, I mean, it was a small snake, but they have anticoagulants in their saliva. So it's just bleeding and bleeding and bleeding.
It's like got a bleeder. Yeah. Got a bleeder. Yeah.
Oh, good.
It is what it is. But yeah, you've been a huge blessing to our organization and everything we do.
Wait
and
a minute. Now, we still haven't gotten to the
board.
No,
I'm just saying
thing.
In general, she's been a huge blessing.
She hasn't finished her story. Don't
finish the story. Don't tell the story.
So
I went out a bunch of times and volunteered. And it was super fun. And we learned a lot about each other and just how it works and how ears works. And asked me to be on the board. That's pretty much it. Good.
Cool.
Yep.
That is awesome. Yeah. Yep.
She's a very vital part to our organization without a doubt. I mean, Tara, if she hasn't done it, she knows somebody who is doing it. You know what I mean? So it makes makes a big difference with everything we're doing. Fundraising, and which is, you know, a big part of what she does. And dear goodness gracious, yeah, she thinks for me. Yeah, everybody else, you know, it's we have a handful of, I think our board is 8 people, and everybody's got this very diverse background of things that they're good at and understand. And here I am, just a, you know, this biomedical guy that happens to know a lot about critters, and they all have their advanced backgrounds, but just everybody happens to like animals as well, you know what I mean, and wants to see the good things happen with the environment. So it's really the perfect mix of what you would hope any organization to be, of not just everybody here, we're just all a bunch of biologists, we're all a bunch of different people from different areas of expertise. It's kind of a beautiful mix.
Cool.
It is what it is. That is ears.
Couldn't
ears.
Be anything else.
Ears. So I gave you some homework.
Yeah,
you want to jump into it?
Sure.
Do you have a topic for your homework?
Disney animals.
Disney animals. That's hilarious. Okay.
Did you expect anything less?
No, I had no idea. I knew I had a feeling it'd have something to do with Disney, because you can tell us about Disney.
I love Disney.
Yeah. You seem to be at Disney like every weekend.
Do we have to know their names?
Yeah. No. Some of them. Some of them.
I'm so bad.
Okay.
I'm
not
terrible.
All of them. Not all of them. Okay. So, what animal does Emperor Kuzco get turned into? In the Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, it's a llama.
Correct.
I know. The Emperor's New Groove
is a great movie.
I always play it for my TV One class like the first week because it's a good little storytelling thing, but it's also like 85 minutes long. So it fits perfectly in a block. And,
it's a great story.
Oh, that's hilarious. It is a great story because they kind of start in the middle of the story and then go back and... They had all kinds of production problems with it.
People to be humble.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh!
Have you seen it, Cindy?
We're gonna do an ears movie night.
That I haven't.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
David Spade.
Yeah, he's the emperor. He's the emperor. Kuzco. Yes.
Really? Yeah. And he. So what is he before he's a llama?
An emperor.
He was the emperor.
Oh, he's not like some other kind of animal.
I literally can't spoil anything else
until
you watch it.
And John Goodman is the peasant who helps him out. And
when he's a llama or before he's a llama?
Before he helps him out when he becomes a llama. Yes.
Oh, he helps him both ways.
Yes.
Like does he give a llama baths?
No.
No.
Does he feed the llama?
Yes.
Yes.
His wife feeds Emperor Kuzco.
Also, that you know when they go out to eat.
Yes. Yes. They go to a restaurant.
Okay. All right, I'm going to have to look this one up. we'll have to look this one up, Cindy. We'll have to figure this one out.
It's called The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah. Okay. I have heard of it.
Disney Plus.
I have heard
it's
of
on
it.
Disney Plus.
Okay,
it's on
I have Disney Plus. Plus.
We're
going to
have a
year's
movie night. Okay.
Okay, yeah. I like it. It's a good idea.
Have you seen Finding Nemo?
I have.
Yes.
How old is Crush?
Oh, gosh. He's very old.
Yeah. 150?
Yeah, something like that. 147.
You were right with 150.
Oh.
Wow.
Have you seen the movie Tangled?
Yes.
Tangled?
But not in like 12, 13 years.
What animal is Pascal?
Oh, he's a chameleon.
Yes.
Well, that makes complete
sense. Yeah, like one Frank that Frank had in his hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. I forgot. I did have a Pascal
in my
hair.
Okay, this one is kind of difficult.
Okay, I still remember the look Cindy gave me that day. I'm going, no, Cindy, like, don't talk about it.
I was trying so hard to keep it together.
I'm like, this guy's having this beautiful conversation, and I'm like, no, Cindy. She's going, and I'm like, part of me in my
head, I was honestly for a second trying to unravel, am I having another stroke or is there actually something on his head? Is anyone else seeing this? I was just, I'm looking and Bill's not doing anything. I'm like, am I only seeing this? His hair tie
was moving or something. What in the world? Why is his hair getting longer?
Oh, man. And it was at a very like meaningful part in what our guest was saying. And I was like, I was sitting
over there where you were at. Yeah. Yeah,
I can't laugh. I can't do anything.
I just see Cindy going. And I'm like, no, Cindy, don't mention it, Cindy. Don't mention it. Anyhow, okay, yes.
Okay, I'm going to skip number four, and I'm going to do it last because I think it's cooler.
Okay.
Okay,
that's fair.
My favorite movie is Fantasia. My favorite character is Sorcerer Mickey. He's my whole life. What is the sorcerer's name in Fantasia, and what does it mean?
Oh.
I will tell
you. This isn't animal related.
Fantasia, my kids used to watch Fantasia when they were younger. And it is the perfect sleeping pill for me. I just they start playing
it.
Oh man, I am asleep on the couch, arm hanging down on the floor, probably snoring. And Fantasia. I have never seen the whole thing.
I used to watch it all the time, and I know that I know this.
Do you know the villain's name? The demon. Mm-mm. Okay.
Somewhere in here, yes. Presently, no.
The villain is Chernabog.
I don't think I would have ever remembered that.
And the sorcerer is Yensid.
I don't think I would have remembered that.
Yensid is backwards the word Disney.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay. That's funny.
Did you know that?
That's the evil sorcerer?
Well, he's not evil,
but Mickey stole his hat.
Oh.
His sorcerer's
hat.
It's not an evil Disney sorcerer. He's mad at Mickey because Mickey doesn't know what he's doing. He flooded the whole castle.
It was very irresponsible of him.
Yeah.
That's when all the magic mops showed up.
The brooms. And then he kept chopping them up. And then they just regrew like gecko tails.
Crazy. Wow.
That was a wild
movie.
I did not know that. It was crazy.
Okay.
There's some weird stuff going on in that Joker.
This one I actually had to write the answers down because there was one I didn't know the answer to.
Oh, okay.
There are four named Disney snakes. What are they or what movies are they from?
I know there's a cobra. And there's a cobra in, is it Tarzan?
Or no? Jungle Book.
Jungle Book.
There's not a cobra in Jungle Book.
That's not a cobra?
It's not a cobra.
It's not a cobra because look at where.
Is it a mamba?
In Robin Hood. Prince John is a snake, isn't he?
Ooh.
Prince John is not the snake's name in Robin Hood.
Oh, it's not
there's,
the snake.
There's
snake.
TikTok.
That's a crocodile.
And Peter Pan, yeah.
That's a crocodile.
Oh,
she said snakes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you have Robin.
Sorry, my mind went to reptiles.
You have Robin Hood. Sir Hiss.
Sir Hiss.
Is his
That's
name.
Right. Oh, because I was thinking of the lion who was the prince.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
It's his snake, Sir
Hiss.
And
he's like tickling his ear
yes.
and all that stuff.
While he's
that,
sleeping.
Stuff, yes.
Okay, so you were right about a cobra, but it is not in Jungle Book.
What is it in?
It's black and red, if that gives you
a villain's
colors.
Is it from Aladdin?
Oh, it is Aladdin.
Jafar turns into a cobra to seduce or hypnotize Jasmine.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
I knew it was there. I knew there was one somewhere. I just couldn't think of where it was.
There is a big snake in Jungle Book, though,
there's
right?
Still two, yeah, there's still two more. Its name. And there is a snake in Jungle Book. And it...
It's oh, like, yeah. It was a python.
It's a python. And he has crazy hypnotizing eyes.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And his...
I can see him right now.
His name is Ka.
Okay. Ka. Ka. All right.
And then this one, I had to look up the name because I remember that there was a snake in this movie, but I had no idea what the name was. So in The Princess and the Frog, there's a pet snake.
Did it eat frogs?
No.
Oh, okay. Just
because princesses.
He would have eaten the main characters if he ate frogs.
Just kind of all made sense.
So his name is Juju. He's Miss Odie's pet. And Miss Odie is the sorceress that they go to try and get turned back into Tiana, back into a princess.
Okay.
I did not do as well this time as I would have hoped.
Yeah, we all struggle a lot more than I thought we were going to struggle on that.
I thought, you know, snakes, Frank. That was like right up your alley.
I almost
you
did.
Let us down.
Yeah, I almost, I was thinking about doing like just reptiles for that question, but I was like, I don't even remember the alligator's name in Princess and the Frog. And there's an alligator in there, and he's a main character.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I don't. Yeah,
it's a great.
I don't remember.
Movie. It's
names.
A Louisiana bayou. It's great.
Yeah, I do not remember that. I have no memory of that movie.
She gets turned into a frog.
That's the one with the lightning bug, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And His girlfriend is a star named Evangeline.
Yes, and he sings that song to her. That's it. Yeah,
yep.
That's a great one.
Evangeline.
Crazy stuff. Okay, so if people want to reach out to you and your organization, where can they find you?
I'm all over Facebook.
Yes, we'll tag you on this, obviously, too.
Honestly, if you Google my name, I come up everywhere.
She said, guys, just Google her.
just
Google her.
But TaraLJohnsonMortgage.com is my email address.
And you guys are based in Melbourne?
I mean, it's my website. Sorry. Yes, we're in Melbourne.
Okay.
And my email is Tara.Johnson1@USBank.com.
Okay. And you can find, of course, you can find her over at ears.org as well.
Yep.
But super appreciate you being here, Tara. Thank you for my very special gift.
Your brand new net.
I can go catch butterflies now.
It's
extendable. And very big-eyed ladybugs and super happy grasshoppers. Oh, the grasshopper's eyes are a lot like grasshopper glasses. You've seen the kids now that wear the giant grasshopper glasses? Like, you got grasshopper glasses.
Are they like for
the
EDM
kids wear
concerts?
Ultra Fest?
When they're outside and stuff, they're wearing these giant glasses. Like, I call them
Big
glasses.
Sunglasses now?
Oh, yeah.
That was a trend back when we were in high school, too. It's
it
coming
was.
Back.
Yeah, it is back for sure. But
it's coming back.
You ever been bit by a ladybug?
I've been peed on by a ladybug many times.
Peed on by a ladybug? I don't think I've ever been successfully peed on by a ladybug.
I don't think I've ever picked one up without it peeing on me.
What?
You just pick them up and there's a little yellow spot on your hand and it's a pee spot, I think.
There you go. I did not know that.
New things
I have
right
no
now.
Idea.
I've been bit by ladybugs.
You've been bit? I've never been bit.
I didn't
ladybug
know that
will light you up.
How angry do you have to make a ladybug for it to bite you?
See, it seems to happen to me more out on the St. John's than it does anywhere else, but there's ladybugs out there land on you and they'll put a welt on you that'll rock
what
your
the
world.
Heck? I don't know.
Yeah, there's
a rock. I didn't know ladybugs could bit anything but leaves.
Are you just allergic to them?
No, I had people that told me about that for years. And I'm like, I always had ladybugs land on me and nothing ever happened.
That's
and then out
terrifying.
In the St. John's one time, one landed on me and he lit my world up.
Oh,
that
I
is
went,
crazy.
Okay, it's 100% sure they will actually bite you.
Okay,
or
I
sting
want,
you or do something. They do something to you. That's maybe they're peeing on you. Maybe they're peeing on you. And it's
maybe
just,
you're
it's
allergic
radioactive
to the
pee.
Urine.
It's radioactive pee.
It's a neon yellow.
Yeah, it's a radioactive. You've heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. There is a radioactive ladybug urine.
News drop. Yeah. If you get peed on by a ladybug, you may or may not get a welt leader.
Oh, my God.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Tara, for being here and chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, we appreciate you with ears and everything you do. And like I said, you're a blessing to so many people around the county. And all the networking you do and all the people you're helping all the time. So thank you for being here and chat with us. Really appreciate you being here. All right, guys. Until next week, or at least 5 minutes
sir.
From now.
Indeed.
All right.
Indeed.
Thank you all for tuning in. Again, you can find the Ears podcast on all platforms by searching Ears, EEARSS, or Ears. We'll catch you all next week. Bye-bye.